who continue to work with young ladies and the Boy Scouts who continue to work with young men. We thank you for these organizations that spend the time and the effort to build good character and to teach our young people how to live and what to do. Holy Spirit, we give you thanks. We thank you that they have taken the time to come here to worship the Lord with us, to worship you, Lord God, with us. And so, God, bless them. Bless each and every one of them. Bless the appearance and bless those who serve them. And we thank you for this blessing that you've poured down upon our church, poured down today on the day of Pentecost. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you now to come again. Come now, Holy Spirit. Come with all of your quickening power. Come and reign among us. Come and revive us and touch us again so that we will be filled and to be able to go forth and continue to serve you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We thank God for the Holy Spirit and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And look at the Holy Spirit working in these young people. You know it's the Holy Spirit. We don't quite understand the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we think it's hocus pocus. But as I speak to the young people, it's not like the Holy Ghost, like Ghostbusters. It is like the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit is working in you and using your wonderful talent and your conductors, your wonderful talent to worship and to glorify God and to let other folks hear. That gift that you have is being used by Jesus through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Oh, thanks be to God. I'm now preaching to my young ladies. They're my buddies now. They're going to be going. I'm going to miss them, but they're wonderful young girls who the Lord is forming and molding into what he desires them to do. And so my sermon title today is Breathe on Us, Breath of God. Breathe on us, Breath of God. And the writer says, Breathe on me, Breath of God. And my sermon title is Breathe on Us. But the song we know is what? Breathe on me, Breath of God. Because each of us should be asking God to breathe on us, right? So the writer says in that song, Breathe on me, Breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou hast, what thou dost love, and do what thou wouldest do. That means breathe on me, God, so I could follow you and do what you want me to do and be filled and follow your steps. And the second verse says, breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until with thee I will one will to do and to endure. That means your will be my will when you breathe on me, or breath of God. And I was thinking about the name of that song, Breathe on Me, O Breath of God. Do you know most of us don't want people to breathe on us? And I was thinking about my experience on the train. You know, I used to take the subways all the time. I know I'm always supposed to be holy. You know that I am holy on the inside. And so every now and then the Lord lets something come out. But I was thinking as I was reading, the Holy Spirit did it to me. I was reading this and I thought, all those years I used to take the subway. For those of you who don't know the subway, I don't mean the railroad. Even though the railroad has a lot of trouble now, I would take the railroad from Queens to Penn Station, and then the company I worked with would be all the way down. After they moved, I used to walk the Harmony blocks. But those days, to get to work, I would take the train. And the train would be so jam-packed, you want to say, don't breathe on me. Don't breathe on me. People would just be all over you. And you'd have on your beautiful dress, and you're taking a nice shower in the morning, a little cologne, and by the time you come out, you smell like everybody else. Lot of breathing going on. The young people, you know, you don't know yet, but you know what, sometimes at school, people are breathing on you, right? I thought of you today when I was putting this together. Just breathe on you. You don't want them. I have to say that to my granddaughter sometimes when she comes, she wants to sleep right in the bed with me, and she's grown. I says, you just keep breathing on me, right? So, you know, it's not always us. But for the breath of God, we're not saying that to God, right? Amen. You know, we want to say, breathe on me, because this breath of God can what? Fill us with life anew. Amen. Who wants that? You know, and now I thought about it, when you're not feeling so well, you just want to say, breathe on me, breath of God. God, and make me better, breathe on me. And to breathe means to exhale on someone, right? Or something. To exhale, like when they're checking you up in the hospital, the doctors, and they says, breathe in and then breathe out. The other day, the doctor told me that I nearly keeled over when he says to breathe out. You know, to get enough breath. Breathe on me is very important. He says he was doing the breath machine. I know all you with the big, strong lungs because you're running the marathon. You don't have that problem. And he says to breathe. So the breath is important. The very fourth verse says, breathe on me, breath of God, so shall I never die.
Amen.
That means to give us life eternal, huh? That I'll never not die, but live with thee the perfect life of thine eternity. Right? That even though the flesh dies, our body dies, when the Lord breathes on us, when we have accepted him as our Lord and Savior, and we are filled with the Holy Spirit, then we are what? Then that breath of God is upon us. And so we want to be able today to remember that the breath of God is something that is awesome. The bread of God is like the song we'll sing afterwards that says, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me, melt me and mold me, fill me and use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me, breathe on me. We don't want God to stop breathing on us. Because if God stopped breathing on us, we're in trouble. We want God to breathe and breathe away stuff. Stuff that we don't need, you know. And God breathing in us is not an external thing. It's also an internal, right? It's really internal because we could act any way outside. But inside is where we want God's breath to fill us. And the fact that we sing and hold our hands up and or we sing and clap doesn't mean that we're any more filled with the Holy Spirit. It means that we are allowing the Holy Spirit to move through us. And so here we are. We see throughout the gospel that the Holy Spirit was spoken of even when Jesus was walking the earth. Jesus is going to say, he says, you know, we'll see it in Matthew and in Mark. I baptize you with the water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not ready, not fit to carry. That's John the Baptist. And he says he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That is the beginning of the gospel.
Amen.
Right? That the Holy Spirit was come. So Jesus would come. Yet Jesus himself is going to say later on, just wait and see what John says, that the Holy Spirit would come. So we see that in the gospel of Matthew and Mark, that they were waiting for the Holy Spirit who was going to do this unique and special thing. And then we see it in Luke. It says, I'm going away. I'm going away, but I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high. And that's Luke 24. He says, stay here. I'm going to send you something. Jesus would come. He would die. He would be resurrected. But he knew we needed something else to live within us. Because the Holy Spirit can impact many more of us than Jesus could when he was walking the earth. Jesus is a man, right? Jesus is a man walking the earth, could not impact as many of us as the Holy Spirit can. Because if you think of Google, young people, you know, they say the Google engine can search millions and millions, I'm told that, not that I know these things, millions and millions and millions the Google engine can. And from my understanding, the Holy Spirit can search so many millions of us, the entire earth, billions of us.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is moving with, it is greater than any Google engine. When you're Googling, do you Google like I Google? You probably do on the computers or you're looking for things. Just think about that. That there may be millions looking, but the Holy Spirit can do billions, the entire earth. It is the greatest search engine long before there were Gates and all of those and Apple, long before them. Could you imagine the Holy Spirit from Fiji, South Pacific to the North Pole, right? To Asia, Asia Minor, to the Caribbean, to South America, North America, the entire globe, the Holy Spirit, that search engine that God made, can fill the hearts of human beings. Aren't you excited today that we have got a search engine called the Holy Spirit? And so here we have John 7. John 7, the beginning of the Gospel of John, Jesus is going to tell them, he's not even crucified yet or dead, but he's going to promise them the Holy Spirit. And I did not even realize that till I was reading this text, because I always thought the promise was later. It was chapter 13, chapter 14 of John. But right in 7 it says, and on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow within them." By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive had not yet come. The Spirit had not yet come, but Jesus himself from the very beginning of the Gospel of John says that when the Spirit comes, when he was going to be glorified, that means once he was crucified, dead, resurrected, ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit would be sent. And that Holy Spirit was going to fill folks. He would be their advocate. He would be their comforter. He would be their teacher. And so he wanted them to know that. Right? He says, "But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have told you." That is John 14. So here it is, he's telling them, the Holy Spirit is going to come to remind you of what I have taught you, to be with you, to comfort you. The Holy Spirit is not hocus pocus. We want the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to say, "Come, Holy Spirit, come."
Amen.
We need to beseech the Holy Spirit to come. So this promise of the Holy Spirit was given to us, to the church. It would be the beginning of the church. And then he said to them, as he continues, he says, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority." In Acts chapter 2, he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That's the beginning of Acts. So what he's saying is, when you receive the Holy Spirit, something must happen in your life. Like these little young girls who are singing. When you receive the Holy Spirit, right, we serve in ministries, we preach the word, we serve in the choir. We've got to do something, and we've got to do more. Because the main thing he wants us to do is to make disciples. He says, make disciples, go and preach my word, right? Witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. Something needs to happen to us when we receive the Holy Spirit. If our lives are the same way, we're doing the same old thing for 10, 15 years, we need to say, "Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit again. Fill me again, Lord." It's never too late to have a do-over. Never too late to have a makeover. Right? We could get it filled again. And so here we are on the day of Pentecost, as we remember. It was 40 days from the ascension. God had been ascended. It was 40 days to the ascension. Right? Jesus died, resurrected. 40 days he walked the earth, and then they had the ascension. And then 10 or 9 days later, based on, you know, the theologians, 10 or 9 days later would be the day of Pentecost. That's why it's called Penti. It's 50, right? 50, 5-0, 50 days from the resurrection, right? He would be ascended up in 40 days, resurrection to ascension, when he was lifted up and they were looking. You know, that's why I believe that heaven is up, you know. You know why I believe heaven is up? Because the men and women were looking up as Jesus was taken up. They weren't looking down. Just a little theological thought for you. They weren't looking down. He was taken up. Elijah was taken up. So we know heaven is up. We're clear on that when people tell you, well, we don't know where heaven is. It's up because the Bible says it's up. It's somewhere up there.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. They were all looking up. Nobody in the Bible is looking down for heaven. Not that I read, not in my Bible. I don't know about yours. And so here it is. It was the day of the Sabbath and the Holy Spirit would come. And do you believe that they knew what the Holy Spirit would look like? Do you think they had a clue? They didn't have a clue. They thought that a guy was going to show up looking like Jesus, probably. They didn't know, or they didn't probably think there's going to be a woman, but nobody knew that day. We act as if we know because we're reading the text afterwards, right? But they did not know. But the Bible says for 10 days, about 9 to 10 days, those folks were in the upper room. And guess what they were doing? Praying. Praying. She knows the word, my Donna. She just said it, praying. They were praying and praising God. And they were asking the Lord, send your Holy Spirit. Day and night they were praying in the upper room. Because Jesus had promised something mighty. And they knew that he would keep his promise. Because he had died and he said the third day he would arose from the dead. And he did. And then he came back and he walked around for 40 days. So they knew that. They knew that. So they were excited. And they were, and everybody was there. Like we're sitting here now. Except that we would be praying and praising God. Is anybody praying that the Holy Spirit will show up again today?
Me.
Yes, praise God. Are we all praying that it'll just pop up and the roof? Could you imagine if the roof just goes, psh? And guess what? You couldn't run out because the doors would lock. Hey, we'd have to just stay here. Could you imagine if we just saw the Spirit of God just, come on, Holy Spirit, show us at Hicksville. Wouldn't that be something? We would make Newsday.
Shall I lock the doors?
And New York Times, and the Wall Street Journal, huh? And NBC, ABC. Could you imagine? Her church would be filled.
I'll lock the doors.
That's right. Praise God. The Holy Spirit would show up, and we would be all here excited. Could you imagine? Some of us would keel over. Some of us would be crying. Some of us would be saying, what's going on? You know what they did there when the Holy Spirit came? They were speaking in tongues, not tongues, in different languages. Tongues meant, when you look at the Greek, there were languages, because they were Galileans, but they were coming from different places. And when the Holy Spirit came, they began to speak in their own languages. That means if I was speaking French, I was speaking in French and other people would understand. It gave them wisdom and all of that. They were speaking in their own language, so tongues wasn't something strange. You know, when I go to Africa and I hear people talking in different language, it's strange to me because I don't know it, but it's not strange to them. Right? So they were speaking in their own languages. And while that was happening, as always, there were some people who missed out. Because you know what they were doing? The scripture says, they laughed. And they said, those people are drunk. They're drunk. Right? Those people are drunk. They laughed and said, the same thing will happen here. The Holy Spirit will show up because we're human beings. Not any of these lovely people here. We're all going to receive the Holy Spirit. We're going to be excited. But somebody could show up and say, what's the matter with them? They're not very smart. They're not educated. They're praising the Lord and waving their hands. What is the matter with them? They must be drunk. Now they would just say we're high. The Bible didn't say high, but now they'll say, oh, they're just high. And the beautiful young ladies are here. They don't know that word. You understand? Just to keep it clean for the young people. We have to keep it clean today. Right? And so, you know, they would say that something is wrong with us. Right? Or we're going crazy or we're loony. And then Peter got up. Peter got up, and I have to bring my little demonstration here because the ladies are going to sit. Peter, good old Peter, God bless him. You know, he had denied Christ. And he was making up for it. And did he ever make up for it in the book of Acts? Peter made up for it in the book of Acts. Spread the gospel, they put him in jail and all of that. He wouldn't give up because he had made the mistake once, didn't he? So now he said, no, they're not drunk. No, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And in essence, Peter was trying to say to him, you should want some too. You should want some. He says, no, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he reminded them because they were Jews. There were Jews from all over. Many of them were Jews and there were Gentiles there. And he says, remember what it was said by the prophet Joel. He says, in the last day I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And now guess what, young people? He didn't leave you all out. He started with the young people. He says, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. That means he's going to give the Holy Spirit to the sons and daughters, to the young ones. And they too would be able to speak God's word. You know, there are some young people who are called to preach from young age. There was a young preacher who was got to be about 10 or 12 who could stand up and preach. You would not believe it. A young African-American preacher in the South, and they've had some other ones in Tennessee, Caucasian young preachers. Some of the great preachers of this country got their call when they were young because they were filled with the Spirit. And that was the gift of preaching the Lord will give them. They could memorize scriptures and speak. You thought they wrote it because they were filled to speak as if divinely inspired. That's prophecy, right? And he says, your young men shall see visions, right? Your young men shall see visions. Your young men and young women shall see visions. That means they'll get visions from God. They'll hear God speaking to them. God will come and speak to them and say, this is what I want you to do. When a young child comes to you, a young person says, I want to be a pastor. I want to be a missionary. I want to sing in the choir. It is the Lord's Spirit that is speaking to them. Right? And then he says, us old folks, we too, we will, old men and old women shall dream dreams. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we will dream dreams. We'll dream dreams of a great church. We'll dream dreams of this church being filled. We'll dream dreams of great ministry. God will put His Spirit in us, and great things will happen. Now, as I bring this to a close, because I know the children, young people are here, I want to demonstrate. There was a professor, and he was a theologian, and he's teaching his seminary class, and he was trying to explain to them what the Holy Spirit is, who the Holy Spirit is. So, I'm going to pick up my little demonstration, right? So what he said, I'll start, and he takes out a pack of Alka-Seltzer, and he was trying to demonstrate, young people, and this is a closed one, and he pops it in the water, right? See, it's closed. Do you see? Nothing happened. Right? And he's showing them and he says, do you see this Alka-Seltzer? Nothing is happening. Pop it in the water, it's closed. Nothing happened. Then I was trying to open these up earlier. Tried to have a plan, but I didn't get to my plan. All right. And then he opened up the Alka-Seltzer and he pops it in it. I'm going to put a bunch so that we could... And he demonstrated to them, this is what the Holy Spirit does when the Holy Spirit is in you. Here was his argument, church. We all have the Holy Spirit in us, we Christian believers.
Amen.
But some of us have the Holy Spirit locked down. Right? The Holy Spirit is under lockdown. You know lockdown, you ever see that in the jail thing? They lock them down, nothing is happening. But when we release the Holy Spirit, can you see? When we release the Holy Spirit, it starts fizzing inside of us. Do you see? It's not mystery. This is the Spirit of God, and I could drop a couple more. And when it gets a little bit like it's been fizzing, like mine fizzes sometimes, and then I get overwhelmed, and then it goes out, and then I get down on my knees, and I talk to God, and I pop, get a little bit more unction of the Holy Spirit. Some of us needs another what? Alka-Seltzer. We need an Alka-Seltzer. Right? We need a help. See, young people, when they ask you, I want you to do that demonstration when you get to your church, right? Or wherever. This is the Holy Spirit fizzing. Now, these young girls, the Holy Spirit are fizzing in you like this now. Right? It's bubbling because you allow it to bubble. Church, if you don't feel like you're serving God and you could do more for the Lord, get yourself a spiritual Alka-Seltzer. And you know, you don't have to go to CVS. I bought that at CVS. You just got to read the word. I went over to CVS this morning with my bag and I went to buy the Alka-Seltzer. And you notice I didn't buy any Imodium. Because we don't want to bind the Holy Spirit. We want to what? Free the Holy Spirit. Oh, glory to God. I'm now done. Praise the Lord. No binding of the Holy Spirit. We want the Holy Spirit to be free in us. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Give God a praise offering.